You're listening to Savvy Saturdays on News Talk 610 CKTV. Brought to you by Life Coach Financial Strategies. Here's your host, Renee Ribello.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Savvy Saturdays. I'm your host, Renee Ribello. Thank you so much for joining me today on Savvy Saturdays, an hour show that is heard here on 610 CKTB twice a month on Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. with different topics of interest for men and women alike. The information can be used by anyone listening to the show. During the show, we encourage you to text in your questions to 61010 and we will get to them on air. And today, for the first time, we're going to allow calls in. And I think because the topic that we have today will be so dear to most people's hearts that we've decided that we'll allow people to call in. So you can even, when you hear something, you can call in and talk to our expert. And the number is 905-688-CKTB. So today's show is very close to my heart, as the discussion around today's topic hits close to home for me and possibly a lot of you listening. Nobody wants to be faced with the challenge of placing a parent or a grandparent in a nursing or retirement home. After all, it's hard knowing that your mom, dad, or grandparent needs a high level of round-the-clock care, something that you may not be able or qualified to provide on your own. This situation often comes with conflicted emotions like guilt, regret, and a sense of relief. How do you remain sensitive to your parents' or grandparents' feelings while moving ahead with what you know must be done? It may help to acknowledge the fact that putting a loved one in a nursing or retirement home is a fairly common challenge. Each year, millions of other people like you face this dilemma, and that means you aren't alone in dealing with this issue. For the last few years, I've been struggling with the most difficult decision of my life. My 92-year-old grandparents, who have been the model of health and independence throughout their whole senior existence, have recently decided that they are growing frail. While they used to drive and walk easily to neighbors and around the block with ease, they're now finding that remembering to even take their pills and how to cook has become a challenge. I've had many discussions with my grandparents, yet like many adult children who are thinking of moving their elderly parents or grandparents from their home, the three words, leave your home, seem foreign, cold, and impossible to utter. I do bring up the subject a lot, but whenever I speak about moving them away from the home, I'm met with a very sharp resistance. No, I'm not moving. We will die in this home. These are the most difficult words a concerned child or grandchild can hear their elderly parents or grandparents say. So how does a worried family member convince a parent or grandparent that moving to a long-term care facility or into a retirement or downsizing is in their best interest? Today's guest speaker is my longtime business colleague, Gay Douglas of Trustworthy Transitions. She will be sharing with us today on how to have that conversation with an older family member that it could be time to move, and then how to create the move plan for your loved one. Gay, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Renee. It's a delight to be here. I was really looking forward to today and chatting with the listeners.
That's wonderful. So, Gay, can you just explain, you own a company named Trustworthy Transitions. Who are you? What do you do?
Well, we are a move management company. We're a family-based move management company. So we help people. I was going to say older adults, but we serve all ages that need a hand and some support, both practical, emotional, and we help them with the tasks involved with moving. And also, we work with people who simply want to downsize or declutter and simplify the stuff in their lives. But the real heart of our business is a family-based approach. Both my son and daughter are involved in the business and have been vital in developing it with me. And so we say to people, let our family help your family. So we will help from the beginning planning stages of the move through to the involvement of other family members, working shoulder to shoulder with them in many cases as we work together to have that move happen. Sometimes we get a call. In fact, I got one this week from someone who simply wants us to help them organize an attic, which is causing them sleepless nights. So we're going to be going in there and helping them. And our first customer a number of years ago was a couple that just wanted their garage taken care of. So we can do anything as small as a storage locker mm-hmm. and help people sort their way through that expensive metered expense to actually managing every detail of the family member's move, from organizing, categorizing, packing, making sure that there's a floor plan so that the items that move will actually fit in the new space, mm-hmm. helping them distribute to family the remaining items. We do a lot of online auctions working with another company, and that's been tremendously helpful for our clients. We also have a small move company in which we will move smaller moves, primarily to a retirement residence, mm-hmm. items between 10 and 20. And at the other end, we help them unpack. We put everything away. We actually tell our clients, hey, take the day off. Go to a spa. Have lunch with your family. We'll call you when we're done.
Wow.
And by the end of the day, every item is placed where the client has requested it to be put. The toothbrush is to the right of the sink. Everything is put exactly where we were asked to put it. And clothes are hung up. The bed is made, and they can come back and settle in immediately to their new home.
Wow, that's incredible. I just moved last weekend, and had I really known what you did,
yes,
I would have been calling you. Now, here's a question that is not in my questions, but you know, what about if someone passes away, and then you've got the daunting task of having to go yes. in there as the family member, and now you've got this house? So my other grandparents, when they passed away, they'd been in the same house for 50 years.
Yes.
So, you know, there was things everywhere in that house, and I was like, what room do we start in? Like,
yes.
Wow, it's overwhelming.
We will also do that. We have cleared a lot of homes working with executors, and often the owner of the home may be in long-term care or unable to make decisions. So we will also work with powers of attorney to ensure that that happens. So yes, we can clear a home, have it cleaned, and get it ready for the next purchasers. We tend to serve as the hub around which all of the players and vendors and family members hover when these kinds of changes are happening. So we tend to be the communication hub between all of those pieces. We will work with realtors to make sure that we are staging the home and getting it ready for sale so that it's going to get the maximum dollar. So one of our real primary goals is to ensure that the older adult is getting the maximum dollar for the value that is still either in their home or in the possessions that they own.
Right. So that's wonderful. And what area do you service?
We tend to focus on the south coast of Niagara. When I originally started the business, we had a focus of the south coast. But that has changed over the last number of months. And we don't do active marketing in the north of Niagara, but we have definitely received a great deal of interest from other parts of the region.
It's wonderful. So you're basically covering most of Niagara. That's great. Gay, we need to take a quick break, but everyone stay tuned. When we come back, we will continue our conversation with Gay Douglas of Trustworthy Transitions. My name is Renee Ribello, and you are listening to Savvy Saturdays on News Talk 610 CKTB.
Now back to Savvy Saturdays with your host, Renee Ribello, on News Talk 610 CKTB.
Welcome back to the program. Remember, anytime during the show, you can text in your questions or comments to 61010. And now you can actually call in with any questions you may have, and we'll get you on air. And the number is 905-688-2582. And if you're calling toll-free, if you're calling from the Grimsby area, it's 1-877-610-2582. So, Gay, welcome back to the program.
Thanks.
So, Gay, before the program, we were talking about transitions and what we do with our seniors, but we want to talk about a little bit about the growth of residential options for adults mm-hmm. at this point. Like, you know, did you want to make some comments on that?
I would love to. I was reflecting that as a child growing up in the north end of St. Catharines, there was really only one residential option for older adults, and that was a nursing home.
Yeah.
People are living longer, and the growth in the population around seniors is pretty dramatic. I'd like to share some data, if I can, around that.
Mm.
And because of that growth, there have been an explosion of different options for older adults and where they might want to live. The adults over the age of 65 is jumping 80% when the baby boom generation retires between the years 2010 to 2030. And by 2030, older adults will account for one-fifth of the total Canadian population. So that's really turning the data on its head from 30 years ago. And Canadians age over 85 are actually the largest comprised growing group in that senior population. People are living longer and living healthier, as your grandparents' story
92.
Does tell the story. But today, with families being geographically dispersed, and as people are living older, what it means is their children, who typically might have helped if they were 40 or 50, are now 60 or 70. So it becomes problematic for their children to assist as well. And many people never had children, so they often don't have close family nearby to give them a hand. So what has happened over the last number of years? There's been a real growth in retirement residences and in options for adults around seniors' apartments, seniors' condos. So elements of the business trade and the building trade have identified this growth and the opportunities to provide a number of different options. I wanted to share some information about different levels of care. And this I have found on the website of our National Association of Senior Move Managers. That's the association our organization is a member of. Has more than 1,000 members from all across the United States, Canada, the UK, and Australia. This has grown from 16 members in 2002. So it's really exploding in the States and just beginning to grow in Canada, where there are about 50 senior move managers in the country. So there are really three basic levels of care, depending on the ability for the older adult to live independently. So first of all, there's independent living, which may be seniors' condos, may be apartments or suites within a retirement residence. There's also assisted living, sometimes called supportive living, which provides nursing staff intermittently or, in some cases, 24/7, but doesn't offer intensive nursing services. And then there's, of course, skilled nursing and long-term care here in Canada. So this chart is, I think, a very helpful piece of information people may be interested in receiving. And I would encourage you to give us a call or email me, and I will send you a copy of chart.
They can text in to 610.
They can text
their
in.
Email address, and we will make sure they get a copy of this chart after the show. So that's wonderful.
I also wanted to reflect for a moment on my role as the business owner, is that we have a great staff, amazing, well-trained, very specially equipped staff that work one-to-one with our clients and their family members. That's a really key part of it. Our company is a little bit social worker, a little bit planner and decorator, and a lot organizer. That's a real key role. My role specifically with the business is supporting and coordinating the processes, ensuring that all of the players involved with the senior and their family, or the client and their family, are aware of what's going on. I am a good listener. I'm a helper, and then I can delegate to my staff and inform my staff about some of the complex things that are happening out there.
Well, that's very helpful, because if you don't have a good leader, then you can't help to organize everything. So you've expressed some of the options that are available for older adults and the growth of the senior move management. And so, you know, is there any kind of organization tips for downsizing that you can offer? I know that I've heard before, you know, if they have a bunch of pictures, because a lot of times people have physical pictures. I know myself, I have a box. And, you know, sometimes moving that to wherever you're going is tough. So maybe putting it all on a USB stick.
That's a great idea.
And now it's a little stick instead of like a box of photos.
There are great services that will take your photos, take your slides, and digitize them for you. A lot of people are doing that. We really encourage that to happen while the individual remembers who everyone is.
Yes.
And while those pictures do bring back the memories that are so important, I cannot tell you how sad it is to have to dump boxes and boxes of black and white photos because no one really realizes the significance of those pictures anymore. Pictures are key. I actually have a list here of sticky things that are most difficult and problematic.
Perfect.
When people are trying to move.
Now, I just want to mention one more thing about the pictures.
Sure.
So what we did was we took the data stick, and we bought one of those digital photo frames, and it runs at my grandparents, and it just changes all the pictures all the time.
Oh.
So it's sitting in their family room where they can watch TV, and then they can see the pictures change.
Constantly.
It plugs into the wall, and, then the picture's always changing for them. So it's a good way to get rid of the pictures, yet allow them to still have the memories. So one tip, anyways.
That's a great tip. I'm going to share some sticky stuff in a minute, but your first question was about process and tips. And I will sort of recreate for you what we do when we meet with the family or the client who calls us. Is one of the first key questions we ask is, where are you moving to? Because without a destination, think about it when you're planning a trip. If you don't know what your destination is, it's very difficult to make a plan about getting there safely, securely, and on time with the stuff that matters. So we ask that because we will immediately do a floor plan up to begin to already identify what will move safely, what will fit in the space, and what perhaps needs to be left behind. Another key question, and I would suggest people have this conversation with their family if they're considering a move, who's on your team? It's really important for us to know, are we the only people who will be supporting this adult and taking care of things to provide the move services they require? Or will be working with a family member? Are they nearby? Will they be as hands-on as we are? Or are they going to simply want an email at the end of every day with an update? And that's fine. We're always glad to keep the family in the loop around progress so that we can ask them questions as well. So that's sort of second question.
So you're like a move manager.
We are a move manager.
You oversee it all.
We oversee every detail.
Beautiful.
And I think that's important. We can do a little bit of the entire move and the process of getting ready, of planning, of doing the mini move, of doing the unpacking at the other end, getting rid of the boxes, or we can do any element. What we like to say is we'll provide you with a menu of options, but based on your needs and your budget, we will do whatever you require and support you in that regard.
Perfect. So then when we're now all of a sudden you're meeting with a family and they're like, hey, mom has to move. Whose advice do you take? Like, who is hiring you? Because mom may say, no, that couch has to come. The flower couch we all want her to get rid of. And it's not going to fit. And you're trying to convince her to let go of these things.
Oh, letting go is the biggest challenge for most people because of the sentimental and the historical value and the loyalty and tradition that is involved in the things that we handle and care for years. We work for the person who is moving. It's often challenging to differentiate, especially if a family member is picking up the bill. They may have certain expectations. But once again, the background of my family, as you may have noted on our website, is we all have background in social services. We are all trained social work type people. My daughter's a recreation therapist. My son is a long-term social worker, has worked with a number of different types of people. My original beginnings were in social work. So those qualities of being able to have those important conversations with families is a key part of what we do. We work for the person who is moving. We try as much as we can to ensure that their wishes are carried out. Balancing, of course, the fact that they may not be in the best position to make decisions that are in their best interests at all times. So we balance that, but we always keep their goals, their safeties, their security, and their happiness as the outcome that we work toward.
So you're a mediator of sorts, to take that anger or the scariness or the, between the two. Sometimes it's just a matter of emotion being in the way of communication. And I know that because of my grandparents and having conversations. And the minute I even hint around moving, I'm like, he stands up and he's like, goodbye.
Yep, he just don't want to hear
conversation
it.
Conversation over, right? And so it's tough because he's old Portuguese, old school. And I'm sure other people have the same thing. So sometimes having a third party involved in even having,
it does make a difference. We've had family members say, it was quite comical. How did you get mom to part with that table. I have been telling her for 20 years that that was in the way and a real hazard to her walking now that she's using a walker. And it's because our girls said, hey, Marilyn, it may not be the safest. I have someone who may want to purchase that. So that becomes a real focus of keeping things safety and secure. So you're right. That third party, objective, knowledgeable voice, we know other resources in the community, people who will pick up items, people who will sell items, mm-hmm. people who can support the move that we will link with and make all of those arrangements for them. So that makes a huge difference.
And I believe that a lot of times when it comes down to having to give up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things when it comes to moving an older adult is the lack of control, right?
Yeah.
Even with regards to driving and having to have the conversation about not driving anymore, it boils down to the lack of control, the lack of freedom, and the fear of what comes with that. And I know, again, it's tough. Like, you can bring in the family doctor, but again, they're not listening to the family doctor either.
Not necessarily. We all want to hold on to our image of ourselves as a younger person. It happens. They say, especially when we were looking at our marketing materials, we always aim at someone who's 20 years younger than the client that we may be aimed at, because we tend to see ourselves as younger people than we are, especially the older we get. So we're really aware of that. And I remember in my early social work days, training around older adults, and the fact that grief and loss, as you age, becomes part of reality for you, that you're parting with family members, you're losing control over sometimes finances or your health, mobility. And so we recognize that that's a real underlying fear for people. And that's why if you're going to have a conversation about not driving any longer or potentially moving out of the family home you've been in for more than 50 years, you really need to come at it with the concern, the authentic concern that the family or friend may have for that adult, wanting to ensure safety. So I do have some tips around that.
So we will need to break in a
Okay, we'll come back to it.
For our traffic and weather, but when we come back, we'll get right into those tips around how to have that conversation with your loved one about possibly downsizing. My name is Renee Ribello, and you are listening to Savvy Saturdays on News Talk 610 CKTV.
This is Savvy Saturdays with Renee Ribello on News Talk 610 CKTV.
Welcome back to the show. Today we've been joined by my longtime business colleague, Gay Douglas of Trustworthy Transitions. And before the break, we were talking about how to have that conversation with an older family member that it could be time to move. And Gay, we're going to get into some of that right now. How do you start that conversation? Like, I know some of you out there are currently going through something like this. And if you'd like to call in, we are taking texts and we are taking phone calls today. The texts are 61010. And to call in, it's 905-688-2582. And we will get you on air and ask the expert for some advice on how to handle that situation with maybe your parents or grandparents. So, Gay. If you
Thank
want to
you.
Go into that conversation.
Oh, yeah. It's always difficult to sit down and raise something which has maybe been the elephant in the room for the last number of years or months or weeks, where you really are starting to get concerned about how safe people are living in their homes. There's a great quote. There was some research done in the States a number of years ago from the University of Kansas. It was called the Household Moves Project. And for the first time, a university gathered data on how resistant people were to move and why, and also how much stuff they had. And I hate to say it, but typically it is the stuff that is holding people back from moving.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So having that conversation is very, very challenging. So it's really helpful, first of all, if the family or the caregivers, the friends, whoever really has an influence on the person has a chance, if you can agree on some common messaging and come up with a plan together so that when Susan comes over for coffee with Aunt Margaret or when David, The neighbor pops in with the mail that the same message is being sent so that they're not getting confusing messages. And they tend to think, wow, I'm hearing this from a number of sources. Maybe it has some value. But empower the individual to make the decision themselves so much better than someone forcing that on them. Expose them to the options that are available. I've actually been involved very recently with a family member who will be moving in the next couple of weeks. And we provided tours, we took the individual out, we helped her make her own decisions in her own time. So when that is possible, we encourage that a lot, because then it's their project, not our project. It's really important to understand the underlying needs and concerns of that individual. They may not be concerned about their safety. They might be concerned about losing friendships in the neighborhood. So anything we can do to mitigate the risks or the concerns that the client has, we will do. It's really important to know what their legal, financial, and healthcare situation is. Mm-hmm. Some people have powers of attorney in place for finance and health. Some have not. And many haven't looked at them in a number of years, and they may need to be updated. So it's important for family members and caregivers and friends to know what that situation is. You can't go out and find a lovely retirement residence with a bill every month if that individual doesn't have enough equity to be able to handle it. And I'm looking at you, Renee, because of your financial planning experience.
That's right?
You have to look at all of the available resources before you make that decision.
Oh, yes, because what they might want and what they can afford might be two different things.
Totally different things.
And then getting the children to agree on it is another thing, because one might say, oh, mom's fine in this home, and another one says, no, mom needs the best.
Right, or she needs this level of care, whereas mom might be just fine living independently.
Yeah.
Have a plan based on today's facts and needs. What is available? Expose the individual to that. We also suggest that we be sensitive about the stuff, because that keeps coming up. And so I've seen in the past when, unfortunately, a friend came into a client's home and said, what are you going to do with all this junk? Yeah. It is not junk to that individual. So making a plan to make sure that their items, their possessions, a lifetime of possessions, we often use that term, we're helping them sort through a lifetime of possessions. They all have value, or they wouldn't have held on to them. So helping them make a plan that other people will take care of these things for them. Mm-hmm. There's challenging markets right now for older furniture. It may not bring anything close to the value of that dining room set and what it sold for in 1953. Absolutely. But some items that have huge sentimental value, we've seen our clients, the joy it brings to them when a newcomer family will now use that table. Or when an item of historical significance has been purchased or it's been donated to someone who appreciates the history in it. Yeah. We helped a lady in Ridgeway downsize. She wasn't moving, but she had 30 bins of stuff.
Wow.
In her eaves, in her basement, in her mudroom. And she simply wanted them emptied, gone through. We coordinated an online auction for her. She received money back from that experience, of course. But the best thing was pickup day, to see the people come to pick up their items and for her to give the story, to pass the torch, pass the legacy to the person who was getting that next piece. I cannot tell you, she had tears in the morning of sadness about parting with her vital possessions, her treasures. By the end of the day, she was crying with joy because she knew they were all going to a safe place. So to get back to my original thoughts around conversation tips, keep safety front of mind, make sure you're sending the same message, and look at the resources you have to enable this individual to move to a safer spot.
And how do you know that it's the time to actually have that conversation? Is there signs and symptoms that people should be looking for when they're, you know, thinking that maybe it might be time?
It could be time.
With my grandfather, it was when he put the car in the ditch because he was going to the bank and ended up in Toronto.
Oh,
so
yes.
That was kind of
it was
our
pretty
time.
Obvious.
Yeah, that was a little bit too late. I'd like to save other people from that.
Yes, and there are some more subtle cues.
That's what I'm hoping for. Yeah. I'm like, well, that's a little bit extreme. But
yeah, but it definitely sent a message.
Yeah. Well, because he alienated himself first, right?
Yes.
Don't come to the house. We don't want visitors. So first he alienated himself because he must have known he was having a problem. And then it got to the point where he couldn't alienate everybody
wow.
anymore.
Wow. So he was embarrassed.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, there are some indicators. One of the things is spoiled or out of date food in the refrigerator, where this person used to love to have fresh fruit in the fridge and there was always something great to snack on at Aunt Mary's. And when you come, you notice that the milk is spoiled or there's vegetables that have been there for a long, long time. That may also be an indication that they're not eating well. I can tell you that a lot of the clients we've worked with, especially if they've lost a spouse who was the major cook, they may not be eating as well. So often their nutrition is not as at its best, which is another great reason for them to move to a retirement residence where they'll be eating great food on a regular basis. So spoiler out of date food, sometimes mail that gets piled up and unopened, that may also be a sign of financial concerns. So I will flag that. Finances are not up to date or they're unaware of their finances. Aunt Mary, do you pay this bill at the insurance company or does it just get taken out of your account every month? I'm not sure. Could be a sign. It may be time to go with Aunt Mary to the bank and find out exactly what's happening. General confusion or forgetfulness, things like weight loss because they're not eating or not remembering to eat well or don't have the resources or a car to get to the grocery store to make sure there's fresh food, or weight gain sometimes, which could also be a sign of depression. But sometimes it's a decline in grooming. The lady who used to go regularly to have her hair done or wear the nicest clothes is beginning to wear shabbier clothing or the same clothing because maybe they can't get into the basement to get to the laundry. Other indicators may be difficulty walking or mobility or balance generally, which could flag a health concern. Issues with the vehicle, big one. Changes in social habits. And I can tell you that many people, when they do lose the ability to drive, also lose those social contacts that they were so able to get to on their own. So families are often found in the situation of having to rebuild those social relationships and ensure that the individual can get to those social gatherings. Sometimes you can see things like not taking prescribed medications. So you know that the individual is supposed to take two of these tablets a day, and after the month that it was filled, there's still three quarters of the pills in the vial. So that could be an indication. So keep in mind, all of these are safety and health concerns, and that's what really drives most people to moving.
And they, or they can take a whole bottle of pills because they thought they forgot and they took it all day.
So they'll catch up.
Yeah. Because they forgot or they haven't realized they did take it and they just keep taking it, which was also something else that he did. But now you've kind of figured out the signs and symptoms, you've had that conversation, and you're now trying to create the plan. So you're looking at, you know, and I guess you could use this move plan with anybody. It doesn't have to just be for adults, right?
Older adults,
it could be for anyone moving.
Anyone. We're actually working with a young couple right now with a small baby and a tight deadline, and they really need our help. We're glad to go in and use exactly the same approach. So, yeah, number one is, where are you going?
Yep.
What do you have now compared to what will fit into the new home? How can we help you distribute, sell, donate the items you're not taking with you? How can we get you ready by doing all the packing for you? Do you need us to do a small move? Perhaps take items to the new location, provided it is not a large move? Or do you need us to deliver items to donation or to for disposal? Or do we call in help to help you at the other end to unpack, go through everything, put everything in place, and remove all of the packing material, which in itself...
That's a big
it's
job.
It's a huge job.
Yeah.
We provide free boxes to our clients.
I was going to say, the boxes was always a problem. What do I do with the boxes?
Yeah, well, we take them back and we reuse them.
That's great.
And we reuse the packing paper. There's nothing wrong with it. So we reuse, reuse, reuse.
That's great.
One of our values is environmental sustainability. And we're really building this company on our family values of respect and integrity and transparency. And the environment is a key piece.
Yeah.
I said when I started this business, first of all, I got the training as a certified relocation transition manager over 12 years ago. But this new family business is a new experience for our family. And I said when we started it that we really wanted to build it on the family values that we have and understanding the needs of families. Right. And that's what we continue to do.
And that's really good. Now, we did talk about earlier, and I want to get back to it, was the sticky stuff.
Oh, sticky stuff.
Which was your tips for downsizing / organizing if you are moving or moving a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can apply to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Right? So. Well, the reality is that most people over the age of 50, according to the Household Moves Project, so scientific research, said that 80% of people over the age of 50 have too much stuff.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah.
And I'm not even over 50, but
yeah.
I have too much stuff.
Yeah. What's been telling to me, as I've been going out and giving free talks in the community to community groups and service clubs about the industry generally, because it is a new industry, mm-hmm. only in the last 15 years has move management taken off. As I give these talks, it's interesting to know what the difference is between hoarding and clutter. And we deal with clutter. We don't deal with hoarding. I think that's important for people to know. But the common reasons that people hold on to stuff is they have value to us. They represent something that, according to the Household Moves Project, we call, and I love this quote, our material biography. So in other words, our history, our biography is immersed in our possessions. We've passed that on, and we look at items. They remind us of times. They remind us of people. And because of the influx of storage lockers, we now have room to store. When we run out of room in our homes, we just purchase space in a storage locker. Had a conversation with a lady yesterday who wants us to do a storage locker. She's in a retirement residence. She moved 2 years ago. She's paying a fee every single month. Mm-hmm. She doesn't even remember what's there.
Okay.
So we're going to help her go through those items. So sticky stuff are the things that primarily have sentimental value because we want to keep things that have meaning to our lives. The number one thing is family photos. And we already talked about resources to ensure that the family photos that matter get kept and the family photos that don't necessarily or no one remembers can be removed. Books. Books are number two on the sticky list.
Yeah.
Because we have love affairs with those books. We have experiences, emotional experiences with books. Often books have been gifts. Number three is collections of things. So some people collect salt and pepper shakers. Some people collect Royal Doulton. So those collections are often difficult for people to part with, especially if they've paid a lot of money for those collections over 35 years.
Yeah.
Naturally, that's painful. Antiques and favored furnitures. And sometimes we look at a chair that looks a bit threadbare, looks a bit worn, but that's where Mary sits every day. That's where she watches television. So that chair will often get moved because that's where Mary wants to sit. We can tell when we walk into a home. Well, there's an area we call the heart of the home. It tends to be the chair with the cushion behind it. It will have the remote for the TV. It may have newspapers and pens and crosswords.
Yeah.
And usually a little rack with magazines. That's where that individual is most at home. And we want to recreate that for them at the other end. Other sticky stuff includes family heirlooms.
Mm-hmm.
My aunt Lil painted a beautiful tablecloth with Christmas decorations on it.
Wow.
Things like poinsettia. She was a gifted painter. I still have that in my closet 30 years later. Souvenirs and mementos. Clothing.
Oh, yes.
We keep clothing. I know I have three sizes of clothing in my cupboard. You never know if you're going to use it again. Mm-hmm. And stuff that we plan to use in the future, or stuff that we think someone will benefit from. At the heart of holding on to things for most people, as I said, is the sentimental value or the wish to pass this treasure on to someone else. So this is the difficult conversation we often have to have.
And we talked about the pictures, what we could do with them. And the second thing you said was books, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, if you can get them to let them go, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure that there's all kinds of, I heard of an organization actually recently that does like a book fair and
yes.
they take donated books.
Yes.
So you can donate the books to
yes.
the company.
Once again, those are the kinds of community resources we're glad to share with people. They should give us a call or email,
yeah.
visit our website, and we will provide that kind of referral information to them. It's very helpful. And every community is a little different.
Yeah.
Some public libraries will accept those books. Some organizations will accept those books, but not all.
Wonderful. We're going to take a quick break, but stay tuned. My name is Renee Ribello, and you are listening to Savvy Saturdays on News Talk 610 CKTB.
Now back to Savvy Saturdays with your host, Renee Ribello, on News Talk 610 CKTB.
Welcome back to the show. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking about how to have that conversation with an older family member that it could be time to move, and how to create the move plan for them or for yourself with my guest, Gay Douglas of Trustworthy Transitions. If you did miss some of the show, you want to catch it online on 610's website under Savvy Saturdays or under the Savvy Saturday podcast channel. Remember, anytime during the show, if you wanted to have something asked and answered by Gay, please feel free to call in. We only have a few more minutes left. The number you can call into is 905-688-2582. Gay has also offered to send out that list if you're interested in the options that are available mm-hmm. for your loved one. Mm-hmm. She's happy to send you the contact for that, like the link for that.
I will.
If you want to text in your email or call in with your email, we'll be happy to get that to you after the show. So, Gay, is there any final takeaway for our listeners, or how mm-hmm. can people get a hold of you?
Well, we have a great website at trustworthytransitions.ca, or they can call me at 289-690-3324 or text me at that number, 289-690-3324. I think that I wanted to also offer, I do a lot of speaking in the community to service groups and community groups who just want more information on some of these topics, since it is so timely and mm-hmm. such an issue for so many people. And I do that, I think, as an education focus. So, and I love to do it, no charge. I love to speak about the move management industry, not necessarily just our service, but the issues regarding older adults. So I'm glad to speak to any group that may be interested at absolutely no charge, no pressure. We also do when we do an estimate, it's just not a matter of walking in and putting a few numbers on a page and walking away. We have to ask key questions and really take a look at the resources and the timelines and destination of the clients with whom we work. And so I'm glad to do at any time a free, no obligation estimate just to provide more information to families. I won't pressure you, and we'll walk away, and you can always follow up with us if you think you need our services.
What I thought was really interesting was that, and I thought that this summarized it really good, move manager, what do they do? Something very new, something I hadn't heard before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, basically in a summary, you know, they take anybody who's moving, any age, because moving is stressful, it's difficult, and you hate to ask your friends. And the older you get, the less inclined we are physically to actually have that move go. And I know with myself, I hate asking friends. So, you know, what a move manager does, what Trustworthy Transitions does, is create the customized plan, focusing on your home, your timelines, downsize, organize, sort through your stuff, reduce, declutter, determine what can fit, what cannot, determine the best actions to take for dispersal of your furniture and your possessions that will not fit into your new space, pack them up and deliver them to their destination, which I thought was pretty awesome also. Arrange for movers, cleaners, home repairs to get your house ready for sale.
Disconnect your electronics, TVs, computers, stereos. Pack up everything securely for the transport to your new home. Cancel, transfer your utilities, like your gas, your cable, Canada Post. My goodness, I've been through that, and it's a horrible thing. And oversee the movers on move day and unpack at your new home. I thought that was pretty comprehensive. Like, that is a huge amount of stress that can be alleviated off of anybody's shoulders who has to do some kind of move. So it was very interesting to read that what a move manager does. And so thank you for summarizing all of that during the show. And thank you for what you do by reducing stress.
Well, you're welcome. What we often compare the whole industry of move management to is, remember 20 years ago when nobody ever hired a wedding planner?
Oh, yes.
That seemed to be such an unnecessary task until people began to realize that by having an expert with resources, vendors, detail-oriented, to take the stress off the couple made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. We can compare our services very much to that role. We have the consultation, we recognize the outcome that everyone is working toward, and we bring in the outside sources as well as coordinating the details. So I think the day will come, probably in the next 20 years, given the baby boomers, that move managers will become as commonplace and as valued
as
wedding planners.
Yes.
It's much of the same
ideas,
tasks. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So again, one more quick, because we do have to wrap up.
Yep.
How can people contact you after the show?
They can visit our website at trustworthytransitions.ca. Our number is on the website, or they can text or call me at 289-690-3324.
Perfect. So I just want to cover something that happened on Thursday this week in Niagara. Have you ever been to the 40 Under 40 Business Achievement Awards in the past?
Yes.
As a business owner, I assumed you had. So I was honored this week to be the reflection speaker that night. And that was pretty incredible, as I was an award winner in 2009.
Oh, wow.
I struggled with the fact that was 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I was like, wow, time flies. So they asked me to share how that award influenced me and my success. And it was great to share with just shy of the 400 attendees. It was well attended. And it was amazing to see so many successful business leaders, all under 40, who are doing some amazing things in our community of Niagara. And it was inspiring to see the future of Niagara and these young people who were business leaders. So I remember hearing that one person was 26, and the things she was doing was incredible. So I just want to remind people that there are some great things happening in this area. One common theme I did see in the winners is that not only did they have their occupations or their businesses, but most of them gave back. Most of them were volunteering with another organization. And the reason I mention that is because I think that's so important in a lot of things that people do, is to have the give back. So if anyone's listening, I was truly touched by these dynamic 40 under 40 winners, and I want to give a shout out to all those winners, past and present, who have won this award. They said that this was their 22nd year of doing these awards, which means they have awarded 880 business leaders in our community. That's pretty impressive. So I just wanted to wrap up the show by sending a congratulations out to all the winners of the Business Link Media Group's 40 Under 40 Business Achievement Awards from last week. So congratulations to you all. I cannot believe how fast our time goes here. Isn't it incredible?
It is.
It flies so fast. As always, I suggest that you consult your financial professional before you make any financial decisions. Mm-hmm. A certified financial planner will take the time to understand your needs and create a financial strategy that is tailored to your specific goals. And then you can handle and pay for the move manager and the move, because you need to know what you can afford. You can also contact myself at my office in Grimsby, and I'm happy to help. If anyone wants more information on some of the topics or any of the information you've heard, you could always reach out to me. I'm happy to give a free consultation by phone or in person, and you can come out to Grimsby to my new office to check it out. You can also check out my website for online financial advice. It's free for only a short time. The website is straight.finance. Again, it's straight.finance. And there you can email me a question, set up a phone appointment, or even a video chat for a free appointment. And my book is still available on Amazon if you'd like to get the 30 tasks that will help you get control of your finances. It really is like a cleanup. The more money you make, by the
the way, the more you need this book. I was reading something this morning on BNN, and it was saying how people are still subscribed to unnecessary memberships. And that, you know, the more money you make, you don't realize the $14 or the $19 coming out of your account every month. And that actually is one of the tasks in my book, which I thought was really awesome to see that now these business leaders on BNN Bloomberg are actually now noticing these little things are adding up. And we have our Savvy Coffee Chats networking events for women business owners still. The next one is on June 7th in Grimsby at my new location at 15 Elm Street, downtown Grimsby. There is no cost to attend, but you do need to RSVP. It's amazing how fast this hour goes when we're all having fun. So I'd like to say thank you to Gay Douglas of Transitions, Trustworthy Transitions, for sharing her expert knowledge with us today on our show. And to my producer, Steve Martin. Love the name, Steve, for helping me with my first call-in show. And of course, to all of you, the listeners, for tuning in. Our next Savvy Saturday is airing right here on June 8th on 610 CKTV. Have an amazing rest of your Saturday.
You've been listening to Savvy Saturdays on News Talk 610 CKTV. Brought to you by Life Coach Financial Strategies.